Jamie and Locker with you on a Thursday afternoon on the Green Zone. Of course, a little more reaction coming in on the Oilers at 1-877-332-8255 with the future of Connor McDavid hanging in the air. It's in the balance. He said, but when talking about his future in Edmonton, he's going to sign an extension, please. Let's not fall into this trap. But right now, Dave Naylor is here, our CFL and NFL insider.
Everything you need to get ready for game day.
Now, the Green Zone's NFL and CFL insider, Dave Naylor.
He's from TSN, and apparently he is anti-Canadian. Dave Naylor is joining us here on the Green Zone. I'm kidding, Dave. I'm kidding. But you brought up the ratio on dropping back with Dave on TSN. I shared the video. We're going to talk about it. Now, I don't want to get into the minutia of the designated nationalized American, because we'll spend the next 10 minutes having to explain this, and we don't got the time. It is a rule that
came in a full breakdown
2 years ago, where a veteran, pretty much a veteran American, can replace a Canadian for up to 23 snaps in a game. And over the weekend, Ottawa, they paused the game to tell Ottawa that William Standback had 3 snaps left, which had Dave bring up. I had an epic fight on this show, Dave, with Randy Ambrosi when they were talking about getting rid of the Canadian starting ratio. We went over news. I had Randy on for 25 minutes. It was one of the most contentious moments of this show with Randy Ambrosi's tenure, was him trying to explain why it might not be a bad idea to get rid of the ratio for Canadian players. But, Dave, do you support that they tried to bring in last time, which is, let's split it even, pretty much 23 Canadians and 23 non-Canadians, some globals and Americans, and no more mandate of how many Canadians you have to start in the CFL. Is that something you support?
It is. And I think the time has arrived for this. And look, this isn't going to be as radical a transformation as people think. And I'll try and walk you through this without doing math on the radio, okay? Right now, we have rosters that have 21 Canadians on every roster and 19 Americans, okay? There are, take quarterbacks out of it because they're their own separate category, but there are 23 starting spots on a CFL roster, right? 23 room for starters. And you have 19 Americans on the roster. Well, pretty much every team has at least one American devoted to special teams, either as a returner, sometimes a punter, sometimes a kicker. So you've basically got 18 Americans available to play 23 starting spots. That would mean that at minimum, you would always have 5 Canadians playing, at minimum. And I don't believe it would be 5. I believe it would be more. I know you must have 7 has been done, you know, out of respect for Canadians. But in this day and age, I think it's kind of disrespectful to Canadians. I think they would play. Look, we're seeing these rules are rooted, you know, way back in the days when, you know, the average Canadian player was nowhere near the quality of today. And frankly, the Americans who played in the league were of a, overall in the football world, higher caliber. Guys could make more money starting in the Canadian Football League than you could backing up in the NFL. So backups in the NFL were signing in this league. The quality of the Americans is not that anymore. The quality of the Canadians, they're so much closer than they were 20, 30 years ago. And the beauty of it is, and this is what I was getting at in dropping back with Dave, I think all this language, all these rules that in some cases literally nobody understands that I know. I mean, I'm talking people who cover the sport and the average fan is completely lost on. I think those are barriers to becoming a CFL fan because they start explaining. So you could get rid of all of that. We'd still have a minimum of 5 starting and I think it would be 6 or 7 or 8 playing all the time. And you'd also get a better game, guys. Because coaches would just have to say, who do I want on the field? Instead of, okay, I got to have three on that side and four on defense. And then think of the impact of injuries. What cripples the CFL season more than anything, or CFL game? Injuries. You would diminish the impact of injuries. I think overall, if you just lined them up and said 19 Americans, 21 Canadians, let's play football, you got a better game all around.
I'm glad you brought up the reason why it was put into place at the beginning. Yeah. Because the same conversation has been happening for years around Canadian content rules for music stations, for terrestrial radio. And the rules have become antiquated, in my opinion, because I think they're doing what you're saying is happening with the Canadian ratio rules in the CFL. It's doing more damage than good now. So... You're not being anti-Canadian by wanting to change the rule. You're not being anti-Canadian by wanting to abolish CanCon rules. If anything, it should be a sign that the league and the music industries have gotten to a point where they're healthy now. They don't need to be propped up by something, right? And so that should almost kill that part of the argument, Dave, on some level. Because that's what you're gonna get pushback from Canadians. But hold on, we're trying to protect Canadian athletes. Do we need to now?
Well, and look, I think we have to acknowledge that when it comes to the sport of football, I mean, it's funny. I'll share this. We'll be talking about this in a couple of weeks because I'm just finishing this project. I have done a breakdown of where every single CFL player comes from who was on opening week one rosters. Canadian schools, U.S. schools. Right across the board. And this is quite a time consumer. It is astounding the number of schools I had to actually document that feed CFL players. And they come from Division I, they come from FCS, they come from Division II, Division III. There's even one NAIA player in the league, one. But the point is that you have so many levels of football, even beyond the ones we see on television, you know, before you get to the big time. And so I do think you need to have a mandate for Canadians on the roster. And I do think because so many of our players, about a third of Canadians right now playing in the CFL, almost exactly one third, come through the NCAA, which is the same development system that the Americans are coming through. And the two thirds that come from U Sport, yeah, they're going to need more time to develop because the competition level at U Sport is not the same as in the NCAA. So I think it's important to always have those roster spots for Canadians. But the other thing about this is that we'd get rid of is, you know, American players don't talk about this very much, but, you know, they a lot of them are don't, you know, they're very bitter about the fact that when it comes to, you know, competing for jobs on playtime, there's a system kind of that's rigged against them. And you would get that as well. But I'm not saying don't take the Canadians on the roster, because I think when you talk about football, and you're right, every industry is different. Music is different than football, is different than baseball, than different than basketball. But in football, we do talk about the sheer numbers that you would need to ensure that. And look, I've already got some feedback on this. You know, if you get rid of the ratio, there will be no Canadians. People will quit playing the game. Really? Where's the ratio in basketball? Like, come on. We got. You know, if that were true, there would be no Canadians in the NBA. None. And it's not true. We do see development of Canadians in sport without ratios. And again, I'm not arguing against having Canadians mandated on the roster. I'm just saying let the coaches coach football instead of, you know, what happened the other night where we're, and I'm, again, that to me, that's not entertaining when you got to stop a game and do that.
See, here's my thing. And I put it on social media that I have had a solution to all of this. I think there is a happy medium here where you still mandate how many
roster spots.
And I would actually up it from 7. I would probably go to 8, if not 10. However, Dave, there is a nationalized American rule, but there's no snap count on it. And everybody is eligible. If the Rough Riders, like, look at the Riders roster. A.J. Ouellette would be eligible. Jermarcus Hardrick would be eligible. Micah Johnson would be eligible.
Five guys, three with the same team. You got 3 years with the same team, so A.J. wouldn't be.
Well, he has not been in the league in 5 years. I guess he would.
Five years in the league, three with the same team. So you'd have to be.
You have to have the same?
No, I would just do CFL vet. You're in the league for 5 years. You're a CFL vet.
Oh, that's not fun. We should make it more complicated.
No, just make it. If you've been in this league and have said, I am in CFL and I'm a veteran and a Jameer Thurman and all these guys, Weston Dressler back in the day and Matt Dominguez, guys who became a part of the community, why is it that we almost we should reward them and give them an opportunity to be, okay, we have 10 people. Because, as you say, there's going to be four or five Canadians anyways that have to be play. But all these guys are eligible to fill those starting roles if they're in the league this long. They're all veterans. They're all mainstays. People know them. Mm-hmm. I think it would help with roster stability in this league to reward more veterans to stay in the places they're currently at and to stay in the Canadian Football League. Like, that's where I'm at on this.
But the
on-field
rules. Instead
of this 23-snap count ridiculousness, why not keep it simple, stupid, and allow these veterans a reward?
Who ends up on the field, abolish those rules. The roster, I agree with you. Keep the roster. Yeah. You know, you got to have a certain number of Canadians on the roster. That's fine. But and Dave, I think you alluded to it as well in your piece. It would give us a better product. And is that not, at the end of the day, is that not what we're looking to do?
Ultimately, and as I say, it would give us a better product in-game with the coaches able to put who they want in circumstances to be there. And again, so much of the quality of our game gets submarined by injuries. And I think it would...
I apologize.
Did we hang up on it? Was that us?
Yeah. I touched a key on the keyboard that apparently hangs up on people that I just found out live on the radio.
By the way, I'd like to point out, just based on my history on this show, that was not me.
But it's interesting. And I know there's going to be people, and we want to put it out to you. You're the CFL fan. Do you want the ratio to go away? Is Dave right? There are some people, and Dave, there are those who just say, why do we mandate 23 Canadians? Just get rid of all the rules and just have 46 best players. Who cares if they're all American?
Yeah, and I would not support that.
I don't like that.
I think it's important to have Canadian players in the Canadian Football League. I think there is. It's important. It's funny, when I was doing my breakdown of my roster, it's interesting, you know, there's more University of Regina guys playing for Saskatchewan. You know, there's more University of Montreal guys playing for the Alouettes. There's more Laurier and Guelph guys playing for the Ticats. So you can see that as well. You've got value, not only that you've got Canadians on the roster, but you've got localized Canadians. And you see that in the way teams draft and the way they develop. And I think that all matters. So, and again, I think you could have it both ways. The veteran Americans you're talking about, I think they're, I understand what you're saying, wanting to give them respect for being committed to our league. I think in some ways you get that just by being a veteran in this league, and that's what separates you from an American who's never seen the waggle or doesn't understand the different angles of the Canadian Football League. You know, having the experience in this league matters, and that is kind of where you build some of your value. But ultimately, I'm about the product, and again, I think all of this, this is what I said in Dropping Back with Dave, when any sport has rules which are not comprehensible to the average fan, that's a barrier. And you guys mentioned the 23-snap thing and the percent. Here's where that came from, right? In the CBA negotiation, the owners were saying, we want to mandate 6 Canadians. And the union said, we're standing by 7. So basically the ratio is 6.5 because they sliced up the 7th guy into the 23-snap thing, which as they were doing it, I was
so
like,
dumb.
I can't believe they're going to do this.
So dumb.
It was... When they announced it, I'm like, we're going to have a guy sitting there with like 1, 2, 3, like counting with the little stick marks. Come on. What are we doing? So ridiculous. Well,
and then the depth chart thing. You guys have all seen, I'm sure you guys have joked about the depth chart.
Looks like algebra now.
The depth chart as a starter, and once one play in the game is done, you can switch it. Like, that doesn't make any sense either.
Well, Dave, we'll leave it there, and we'll let the fans weigh in on if they like this or not. Because I know there's a lot, and you know this, there's a lot of passionate people when it comes to the ratio in the CFL. Dave, enjoy week 3.
Thanks very much, guys. Enjoyed it as always.
Thanks, Dave.
That is Dave Naylor, our CFL NFL insider here on the Green Zone from TSN. What say you? Should the ratio go away? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Should the Canadian ratio stay or go?
We're getting some interesting texts, Jamie.
1-877-332-8255.
Keep them coming.
What do you think? Dave Naylor says, get rid of the starting ratio. He says, keep the amount of Canadians on rosters at 21. Keep the Americans at 19. But no mandating on how many Canadians you have to start on the field with
that's
this ridiculous math of 23 snaps for a designated nationalized American. It's just tear your hair out when they have to stop a game like that in the weekend to tell Bob Dice, William Stanback only has three snaps left unless Gosling's on the field with him, and then those snaps don't count. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get into it.
And he has it's to have a mouth guard in.
Well, that's kind of the rule. But you can't chew it like Tkachuk and Connor McDavid. Instead, let's go to the business of sports.
Money. Breaking down the business of sports with Tom Mayenek.
He's the host of the Sport Market. You hear it every weekend on CJME and CKOM as Tom. The biggest deal in sports, $10 billion. The Dodgers and the Walters are buying up the majority share of the L.A. Lakers. How big is this deal for the sports landscape to see this move being made by the Dodgers owner?
Huge.
It's absolutely huge. It's precedent setting, and it certainly ushers in a completely new era. Given everything that's happening in the NFL, as an example, with private equity firms being allowed to invest in NFL franchises and thereby, you know, increasing the valuation of those franchises, to the juggernaut that is Guggenheim Baseball Investment and Baseball Partnership and Mark Walter and his team that have, you know, emerged over these past couple of years as among the most aggressive, and I say that in a very positive way, ownership groups committed to winning. And certainly I think you're going to see them apply that to the Los Angeles Lakers. But it values the team at $10 billion. It sets a record for transactional value. And it connects to some of the previous conversations we've had here on the Green Zone, where not a lot of fans of the Professional Women's Hockey League have this as an example or are even aware of this, but Mark Walter is the driving force from a financial investor point of view in the PWHL. So from women's hockey with the six and now eight franchises in the PWHL to the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers and now the LA Lakers, it is huge at so many different in so many different ways.
And it's quick to note, the PWHL, the winner of the league gets the Walter Cup. It is named in honor of the financial backing of Mr. and Mrs. Walter and the support they have shown professional women's hockey by being. So if you're wondering what the Walter Cup is, we are talking about that family who just bought the L.A. Lakers. Locker?
What kind of owner is Mark Walter? For those that maybe have heard his name, is there a way to describe the type of leader he is at that level?
Well, first of all, money no object. If the outcome and the principles involved increase the value, and they've shown that since they bought the LA Dodgers, this all began with him serving as managing partner of Guggenheim Baseball Investments, buying the Dodgers out of bankruptcy protection and doing so at the time for, you know, just over $2 billion U.S. dollars. In the first few years and throughout the tenure of ownership, they have never stared a gift horse in the mouth. They've never walked away from an opportunity to improve the Dodgers. The results speak for themselves. They've obviously went into, and baseball's got, you know, no salary cap, to speak of that has any impact. So they have basically spoken. They've spent over the top, and that's the most important thing that a lot of fans want from their owners, is an ownership group that is prepared to invest and put the best possible product on the field. So I think that's number one. Number two, he hires the best people in the business and surrounds himself with it. He doesn't take on all of the decision-making himself like some other owners in other franchises and other leagues do. And I think, again, that's appreciated by the agents. It's appreciated by the players. And it's certainly appreciated by the talent that's being attracted to organizations like the LA Dodgers. The empowerment of Andrew Friedman as an example, as general manager, is quite clear and explicit. Magic Johnson has spoken so overwhelmingly positive about the way that Mark Walter does business. You add it all up, and he is saying and doing all of the right things in my view. And nobody would have ever, if you would have asked me, guys, 3 years ago, and if you'd have said that Stan Kasten, the longtime Dodgers executive, and Mark Walter would be the driving force behind a professional women's hockey league that brought together the various fragments of the sport here in North America, I would have said, no, that's too small for them. Why would they go that way? And they've shown that they want to be involved in the biggest of showcases, but they also want to be involved in leagues like the PWHL that they can help get off to a right footing for the future of women's sport in general and women's hockey in particular.
Of course, on the flip side of this, they're taking controlling share over from one of the most recognizable ownership names in basketball, and that is the Buss family. Jerry Buss purchasing the Lakers over 40 years ago. Jeannie Buss has been running it with her as the governor, and it sounds like she'll still be in that role. But what about the Buss family saying, okay, $10 billion, have at her, and not quite walking away from the Lakers, but having no more controlling interest of the Lakers?
Well, you know, I think you just mentioned it. What's really important is this is a friendly merger. This is not a predatory takeover by the Dodgers ownership group of the Lakers ownership group. And I think that Jeannie Buss only knows how to do business one way, and it's sort of, you know, being in a very public role. I think she will continue to take the approach and be empowered to take the approach. It may wind up being an understanding that, hey, let's just ensure a really smooth transition, and down the road we'll appoint, you know, another deputy governor. But from all indications, Mark Walter is very supportive of Jeannie Buss continuing to play the role of governor, continuing to oversee the operations. I think that is really important, and it's a very respectful bringing together of the ownership groups of two of the biggest franchises, not only in Los Angeles, but in North America. So I do believe that compared to the other options, it's a real positive. The other thing, just for our listeners, the transaction, the amount of that Mark Walter, and he originally, he already had about a quarter of the franchise, a quarter of Los Angeles Lakers. Now it's obviously he's in the majority role. It values the franchise. The transaction of what they're paying for let's say, you know, an estimated three quarters or 75% of the team, that values the Lakers at that record $10 billion. I think that's somewhere where they're at, is that Walter has about, you know, 7.5 to 8 billion of that, and the Buss family will continue to have, you know, some opportunity to maintain the equity or phase it out. But bottom line is, the $10 billion is the new valuation given how much Mark Walter's paying for controlling interest.
Tom Anik joining us, host of the Sport Market Weekends on CGME and CKOM. We could probably do another hour on this purchase, but we wanted to touch quickly, Tom, on hockey. And NHL is in a really good place. This past year was a banner year for the league. Having said that, some television numbers, and maybe it's just a microcosm, have been a little softer than maybe the league wanted, specifically with the finals and TNT. Should the league be concerned about that at all?
Well, you know, certainly, you know, like any league that is in the business of television, that is, you know, driven to attract as many fans as possible, you're going to be really happy when there's upswings, and you're going to be concerned where there's downswings. There's nothing surprising, in my view, and we've talked about this on the Sport Market, on CGME and CKOM, you know, over these past almost 3 months, there's nothing surprising about how low the U.S. ratings have been. We went into the playoffs for the first time in history not having any of the four U.S.-based original six franchises involved in the playoffs. And that's never happened before in NHL history. When you take those four teams and their fan bases out of the U.S. Nielsen's rating pie, you're taking out national followings, you're taking out multi-generational followings, and you're taking out very strong followings. And so that was something that we knew going in, and the NHL, especially on cable, never recovered from that. I do think that it's very much a tale of two countries. You look at how weak the U.S. TV numbers are, but how strong the Canadian TV numbers have been because of the presence of a Canadian-based team in the Edmonton Oilers. Of course, CBC, Rogers Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada would have loved to have seen another game, you know, to take those Canadian numbers to the next level. But certainly, where the U.S. was weak, Canada was quite strong. And I'll put it out there: there were games during these playoffs where Canadians outwatched Americans on a per capita basis by more than 10 to 1. It's typically about 5 or 6 to 1 more popular and more watched by Canadians than Americans. But during these playoffs, it was often north of 10 to 1 on the per capita ratio. And that just shows how the NHL it continues to rely on Canada as a big part of its economic breadbasket. You look at the TV deals with Rogers and compare it to TNT and ESPN, and it basically shows you how important Canada is as an economic breadbasket for the league.
Tom, as always, thanks so much. And I know you're going to have a lot more on this and other big stories in the sport business world again this weekend. Enjoy week three of the CFL, by the way. We haven't had you on. Were you at the Snoop Dogg concert in Vancouver ahead of week one?
You know, I didn't make it. I admittedly dropped it while it was hot, and you know,
thank you for that. Thank you.
I did not do what I should have done. But I'll tell you something. Hot take is what you guys are talking about. David Naylor's talking about. We're going to talk about how Canadian participation should be mandated, if at all, in the CFL, given where the CFL is at today. We'll be talking about that this weekend on the Sport Market as well.
We look forward to that. That is Tom Manek, the host of the Sport Market, at 6 p.m. Saturday nights, 6 a.m. Sunday mornings, right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with the Ear in the Green Zone. I hope you are having a fantastic Thursday. There is some severe weather popping up around Saskatchewan. Beware of that. We'll keep you up to date throughout the afternoon. There are tornado watches, not warnings, tornado watches. That just means conditions could be favorable for conditions that could produce a tornado, but nothing imminent. That is when a tornado warning comes in. So our tornado watches going on in Saskatchewan, and severe thunderstorm watches. And some warnings have popped up this afternoon as well for severe weather. Still to come, Britton Gray is going to come in with a preview of Week 3 in the Canadian Football League, but also we are asking you about the ratio. Dave Naylor says time is now to get rid of the mandate of how many Canadian starters you need to play.
He agrees with you on the roster thing, right? So you got a roster of 46. Half should be
Canadian, half American. Well, there's some global players in there too. But this split down the middle. If it's 46, 23-23. 23 Canadians, 23 Americans slash global.
But once the game starts, once the coin is flipped, it doesn't matter who's out there. It would make things so much less complicated for the coaching staff.
But then the Canadians wouldn't start is the premise. That people believe that that would be it.
I don't think that's the case anymore.
A handful, maybe less, of actual starting Canadians. But then I'm like, Sam Emelis and Kian Schaefer, you're not going to start those guys? Are you kidding me? Matthew Betts, you're not going to start? Of course you are. Logan Ferland's not starting? Are you kidding me? Of course he is.
You might end up in a situation at points in the season where you have more Canadians than Americans on the field on the offense or the defense.
1-877-332-8255. You look at the increase of Canadian talent, and I don't think we should be as worried of the development of that Canadian talent. They're doing pretty good.